This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome, I'm Natalie Pinchem, and this is the November 29, 2013 podcast from JNS Spine, which includes articles on the following topics: the cervical spine and the lumbar spine. Traumatic high cervical coronal plane spondyloptosis with unilateral vertebral artery occlusion. Treatment using a prophylactic arterial bypass graft, open reduction, and instrumented segmental fusion. A case report by Sunil Manjilla and colleagues. Chronic traumatic coronal plane spondyloptosis of the upper cervical spine has not been previously reported. The authors present the case of a young quadriplegic man with this injury, with progressive deformity and pain. On initial presentation, he had a well-aligned fracture and was placed in a hard cervical collar. Over time, he developed a chronic coronal plane spondyloptosis with unilateral vertebral artery occlusion, with the remaining vertebral artery at high risk of iatrogenic injury and potential catastrophic posterior fossa infarction. He was treated with a prophylactic occipital artery to vertebral artery bypass and two-stage anterior and posterior spinal realignment and stabilization. Successful fusion and improvement in pain and deformity were obtained. The authors highlight that earlier recognition of the severity of this injury and better immobilization might have prevented the need for such an extensive and high-risk surgery. This case is unique for the high cervical level of injury, the coronal plane rather than the sagittal plane spondyloptosis, the chronic nature of the deformity, and the steps taken to preserve the vertebrobasilar circulation. A severe case of Hirayama disease successfully treated by anterior cervical fusion. A case report by Igor Parides and co-authors. Hirayama disease, or juvenile amyotrophy of distal upper extremity, is a benign, self-limiting cervical myelopathy that manifests as selective unilateral weakness of the hand and forearm. The weakness progresses slowly, and spontaneous arrest typically occurs within 5 years of onset. The condition predominantly affects Asian males. Radiological findings are essential for the diagnosis of Hirayama disease. Neutral and flexion cervical MRI shows asymmetric atrophy of the spinal cord, forward displacement of the posterior dural sac during neck flexion, and secondary cord compression against the posterior wall of the vertebral body. In this article, the authors report the case of a previously healthy 19-year-old Caucasian male with a history of 2 years of insidious progressive weakness of the right distal upper limb. The patient had sought care because, in addition to the upper limb weakness, which had stabilized, he had been experiencing progressive weakness of the ipsilateral lower limb. The findings of electromyographic and MRI studies were compatible with the diagnosis of Hirayama disease, and an abnormal range of flexion was appreciated at the C5 to C6 level, 11.8 degrees versus 6.1 degrees at adjacent levels. An anterior discectomy and fusion procedure was performed, with resolution of the leg symptoms, arrest of the arm symptoms, and absence of cord compression during neck flexion. Biomechanical analysis of an interspinous fusion device as a standalone and a supplemental fixation to posterior expandable interbody cages in the lumbar spine. A laboratory investigation by Sabrina Alejandra González Blom and colleagues. The advancements in spinal surgery are focused on less invasive procedures and instrumentation. Dynamic interspinous spacers were introduced as a minimally invasive treatment for spinal decompression, but their benefits are still controversial. Recently, the concept of interspinous devices was expanded to spinal fusion. Little is known about the performance of these static spacers as fusion devices, especially when used in conjunction with interbody cages. Furthermore, the notion of expandable cages used in corpectomy reconstruction has been introduced to single-level discectomy models. The ability of an expandable cage to be implanted in a collapsed configuration makes this device an attractive option for posterior approaches, since nerve manipulation and neurological complications could be minimized. This article provides a detailed biomechanical comparison between an interspinous fusion device and bilateral pedicle screws with and without bilateral posterior expandable interbody cages. Range of motion, stiffness, and energy loss measurements were compared among conditions. The results demonstrated how an interspinous fusion device could provide immediate flexion extension balance after a unilateral laminotomy destabilization, and that bilateral pedicle screws provide greater stability in other motions. Lastly, both devices can perform equivalently in a posterior interbody fusion construct with expandable cages, except in lateral bending motions. Thank you for listening. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. For more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.